Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Whatever you've got to do, whatever you've got to do to take care of that heart and keep it right, you do whatever you got to do. Keep thy heart with all diligence. You can't take your eyes off of it. You can't give the devil any space. You can't give him an inch or he'll take the whole thing. We know that out of the heart of man protrudes, what, 13 evils. The Bible says here, keep thy heart with all diligence. Don't let anything stop you from taking care of what God's done in your heart. Don't, listen, keep your heart. Pretty simple, ain't it? Don't give your heart away. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Defend your heart. I like looking at that thing, and I understand it's protection and guarding and all that, but I like the fact that he just said, keep your heart. Don't give your heart away. Don't give your heart to another. I'm telling you, if wisdom don't have a hold of your heart, then your heart's in a bad, bad way. That's right. And if you give your heart to somebody outside of Jesus, it ain't profitable. He said, keep thy heart with all diligence. Why should you do that? Why should you guard your heart? Why should you pay special attention? Why should you go to the end of the world to make sure that your heart is where it ought to be and what it ought to be? Why in the world would we do that? Why would he encourage us to do that? Because he said, for out of it are the issues of life. You know what that is? Whatever's in that heart is what comes out of that heart. The issues are things that pours out of us. That woman had an issue of what? Blood. That blood was pouring out of her. She had that outgoing of her body. Listen, whatever's coming out of you, that's what's in our heart. That's why he said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, hey, man, bad things is happening in my life. You want to know why? Because we ain't keeping our heart with all diligence. I'm going to tell you why we end up in a mess, because we ain't been keeping our heart with all diligence. That's right. And you say, how do I keep my heart with all diligence, preacher? How do I do that? I can't sit there with a flashlight, and I can't sit there and build a block wall around it. But I say, quite contrary, you can do that. You say, how do I do that? You do that with the Word of God. That's how you keep your heart. Amen. Those things that he said in Proverbs chapter number 4, Proverbs chapter 3, all the way through this blessed book, if you'll take those things and hide that word in your heart, what did David say? You'll not sin against him. Amen. My word have I hid my heart. How do I keep my heart? You hide the word of God in it. How do I keep it with all diligence? You don't miss a day. You don't miss an opportunity. You don't miss a day in your prayer closet of the Lord girding up your loins. And man, in the word of God, in prayer, thank God you pray. You read your Bible. Not just read your Bible. Reading your Bible don't do any good if you're not going to obey your Bible. Right? You got to obey that blessed book. There's a lot of people that read the Bible and they read it ritually every day. Some people read it at the oddest times, but nonetheless, they read it ritually every day. But very rare do people obey that book. Amen. Very rare do. Keep your heart. You obey the word of God. Keep your heart with all diligence. Hey, listen. Man, he said keep your heart. Don't give it away. If you're not able to keep your heart, if you're not able to do what he said here, it's almost as if he's trying to say, don't give your heart to another. Don't give your heart to this world. Don't give your heart to the devil. Don't give your heart to your desires. Don't give your heart to the lust of your flesh. Don't give your heart to the lust of the eyes. Don't give your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart saturated in the word of God. Obey that blessed book. Now, if you don't obey that book, it's probably because something else has captivated your heart. If that book is not interesting to you, if it's not a desire in your heart to, because the Bible says as newborn babes, the very day that you get saved, there's a desire in you. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. You want to know one of the reasons you can know that you're saved? You fall in love with the Word of God. That's one of the evidences of salvation in a person's life. They fall in love with the Word of God. I'm telling you, he said, hide that in your heart. That's how you keep it with all diligence. And when we don't do that, ladies and gentlemen, if that desire is not there, if that yearning for the Word, if that desire for the prayer closet, if that desire to walk with God, if that desire to hear from God, you understand? Talking to God is prayer. But God talking to you is Bible reading. Right. If that doesn't take place in your heart, if that's not number one in your heart, can I be honest with you? You've not kept your heart with all diligence. You've let some things slip and something else has captivated your heart and the love that's in your heart and the attention of your heart. And I mean, man, there's something else that your heart is saluting. There's something else that you've given your heart to. You've not kept your heart. Something has stolen your heart. And I say, man, Lord God, some people's heart never was right because they got that old heart. They need that heart transformation. They need God to give them a new heart. And keep thy heart with all diligence. Isn't that good? Why, preacher? Because out of it are the issues of life. What is life handing you? Can I be honest with you? If you're not keeping your heart with all diligence in the Word of God, I'll promise you, life is not handing you anything good. You say, preacher, now listen, I don't believe that. I see people that's wicked and lost and undone and they having a big time. Really? That may be so, ladies and gentlemen, but when they stand before that great white throne, how good's it gonna be? Huh? When they stand before the great white throne, how good's that money gonna be? When they stand before the great white throne, how good's them automobiles gonna be? When we stand before the great white throne, I wonder how nice them clothes is gonna matter and how much the house is gonna matter. I wonder how much the clout and the popularity and all that this world has to offer, what is that gonna measure up to at the great white throne? Not to a hill of beans, ladies and gentlemen. It won't amount to a hill of beans. My goodness gracious. If you'll just pick up a newspaper or get on the internet and Google every once in a while, I'm telling you, one of the stupidest things, Steve, that somebody ever told me. Now I'm just being honest about people that seem like they have it all. I was doing a job and I worked with a guy over there for a couple years. In Buena Vista, and you look at people over in Buena Vista, Eric lives over our next door to it, you look at the people in Buena Vista, they're living in multi-million dollar houses. They're driving Lexus and Mercedes, and I mean, even their kids get to drive Lexus and Mercedes to school and Porsches and, you know, Jaguars, I mean, $100,000 cars. Out the yin yang, man, they got 4 or 5 car garages. It's just amazing. You look at that, they don't go to church. They might claim some Lutheran religion or something, but they don't love God. They've not kept their heart with diligence. And you look at them on the outside and you go, man, they seem like they got it all together. Why do they look like they got a lot out of this life? Old boy told me, he said, Dave, he said, would you believe that 90% of the people in this community are swingers? 90% of the people in Buena Vista are swingers? I said, are you kidding? He said, absolutely not. You say, preacher, why would you bring something like that up? Because those people don't keep their heart with all diligence. Son, how much love is in that home when a man gives his wife to a neighbor? I mean, how good is that? How pleasant. It may seem like it's okay on the surface, but ladies and gentlemen, you get down there in the heart of the matter. Them people are miserable. They're having a drink to find some kind of relaxation. They're having to take some kind of a pill to find some kind of a peace of mind. I'm telling you, to find some kind of happy medium in life. They've accomplished everything. They've done everything and they're still empty and they try to start indulging in the lust of this old flesh and still can't be satisfied. That's right, friend. Still can't be satisfied. Sin don't satisfy. Lord, have mercy. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Out of it are the issues of life. I'm telling you, church, oh, hallelujah. I'd rather walk in the blessed word of God. I'd rather walk in obedience to God's word. You listen to me. I'd rather walk in the word of God and have to walk to work with the peace of God than to not keep my heart and ride in a Lexus. I sure had. I'd rather ride a bicycle and have fellowship with my father than to ride in a Cadillac outside the will of God. That's right. I just had. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What's your issues? Are they good? Are they bad? Something's pouring out of you. Something flows out of you. My God, out of all the people, I said a while ago, out of all the people, to quote the scriptures, that idiot for Hillary Clinton last night quoted the scripture, but he was right in what he said. Double barrel hypocrite. If anybody ever was a hypocrite, he's a hypocrite for opening his mouth about the Bible. But he told that man, was listening to it on the radio, and he told that man that was running with Trump that all the stuff Trump said, he said that simply is, the Bible says, out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All that junk pours out of him. All that junk pours out of him. It looks pretty good, don't it? His life looks pretty good, but ladies and gentlemen, if you can straighten back all the, pull the mask off and get down there to where the rubber meets the road, not a happy guy. Not a happy guy. I'd rather have that peace with God than to have his money. Well, keep thy heart with all diligence. Whatever you've got to do, don't let your Bible reading slip. Don't let your prayer life slip. Don't let your walk with God slip. Don't let your obedience slip. Don't let the things that you've heard. Listen what the Bible says. Take the most earnest heed to the things which you've heard. Why should we take it? Lest at any time we should let them slip. Let this, man, you gotta keep it with diligence. You know, the Bible talks about that sower and the seed and that word being sown in people's hearts. I'm telling you, the fowls of the air, if we don't take that word and do what we're supposed to do, the fowls will come and they will devour that seed. That's not keeping it with all diligence. A seed's not able to produce in our life. Reproduce. Then he says, put away from thee a froward mouth. That's just good. Perverse lips put fire from thee. That rebellious mouth, listen, that talking back mouth, that disrespectful mouth, that mouth talking back to authority. I'm so glad, thank God, that I didn't get by with that when I was a boy. You hear me? I'm just glad. I'm glad we didn't get to talk back to our parents, Eric. I'm glad that I didn't get by with that. I'm glad that, hey, I seen the discipline so strong in my brother's life that I didn't even want to say nothing to him out loud. You understand? I so scared. I seen what happened to my brother. I so scared to talk back. Man, I didn't want to talk back. I didn't want to have a mouth of rebellion. Boy, I'm telling you, God tries to do something that ain't keeping your heart with all diligence. Lord, have mercy. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lip. Put far from thee, old filthy talking people. Talking nasty, for God's sake. He said, look thine eyes, look right on. Boy, that's what you got to do today, huh? If you're going to keep your heart with all diligence, you're going to have to look straight on today. This old world's so naked. This world's so nasty. There's so much around us, ladies and gentlemen. You take your eyes and start looking around in society. And I'm an attentive person. I try to pay attention to the things around me. I notice cars around me going down the road. But I tell you, man, if you ain't careful, you look around too much, you're going to see too much. I promise you that. Just let your eyes look straight right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Jeez. I tell you, if you ever do go down there to the beach, and I know Christians call it the coast, but it's still the stinking beach. If you ever do go down to the beach, you better learn how to put your head down. You're going to come back Sunday. You're going to come back next Sunday about half discouraged. You get to looking around too much down there. So you say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about keeping your eyes on Jesus. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Ain't that what your Bible says? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our... That's how you look straight ahead. You keep your eyes on Jesus. How else are you going to walk in the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen? How are you going to walk in the Spirit? The Bible said walk in the Spirit. He commanded us to walk in the Spirit. How is you going to do it if you ain't looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? That's how you do it. You keep your eyes on him. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before they... Now listen, here's the very verse that stirred my soul. Ponder the path of thy feet. Ponder it. Ponder the path of thy feet and let thy, all thy ways be established. Now ain't that something? I was about to bring that chair because I just wanted to kind of demonstrate this step, that verse. Just ponder. So, preacher, what are you doing? Somebody said, what are you doing? Say, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Just pondering the ways. Don't seem like I'm doing a whole lot, does it, Miss Sharon? But I read that verse the other day. I'm just sitting right there in my chair, Miss Holly. I begin to ponder my ways. Just begin to think, Zach, about my life. What am I doing? Where am I at with Jesus? Where am I headed? What's going on in my life that nobody else knows, that nobody else knows about but God? Pondering my ways. I know me pretty good. I'm sitting there thinking about me. Thinking about where I'm at. Thinking about where I'm going to be a year from now, maybe by the grace of God, 10 years from now. If I keep heading in the same direction, what's it going to be? I got a desire in my heart to be so much more of a Bible student in 10 years. 10 years from now, I want to be a Bible student like I never dreamed of. I know there's a lot of people that gets to my age and in the ministry or whatever, and they kind of start laying back and they start just using all the knowledge that they have. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that, Miss Holly. I want to get in there tomorrow morning and get something real fresh. It's called the cutting edge. I want to stay right there. How you gonna do that? Let's ponder the ways. I want you to look at something real quick. I want you to look at where you're standing. In your mind's eye, I want you to take time to just look at where you're at. Where are you at in life? Where are you at? The Bible's good. The Bible will talk to you. It'll help you if you let it. You stop for a second and picture yourself, your life, where you are in this life. What's going on in your life? Just ponder your ways. It's good. Let me see if I can find this verse. Look with me, if you will, in Luke chapter 2. That's amazing. 52. Luke 2 says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea. He couldn't have been a Baptist. There's no way he would have went up there to pay his taxes. He would have found a way to get out of it. Out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He went up there to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished and she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of, boy, I kind of like that, by the way. I kind of like that. I like for every pastor to be able to read that and understand that. I like for the pastors of America to understand that they ought to be with their flock. They ought not be with everybody else's flock.
Yeah.
They ought to be pastoring their church. That's right. They ought to quit evangelizing. God calls evangelists, okay? We don't need pastors to do that. Amen. They were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now watch this. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. Now I want you to understand that word thing right there. Apostle Paul was standing over there before Festus and them, and Agrippa, if you remember, Festus and Agrippa, and he looked at them and said, this thing was not done in a corner. It was done out in the open. It wasn't some hidden secret thing. Paul told them about this thing, and this thing was Jesus. Amen. When you read that over in the book of Acts, Paul talking about this thing was not done in a corner. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there it is in this text. He said that they came. Wait a minute. Let us now go to bed. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told unto them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now watch this. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Boy, you know what Mary did? She went over there and just got to thinking about it. She got to thinking about Jesus. Hey, can I be honest with you? A little old cute song, it relaxes and good, it gives everybody goosebumps, so it must be God. Mary, did you know? She sitting over in Luke chapter 2 pondering all that in her heart. There was an angel done and told her every bit of this stuff. And she just sitting over there thinking about feeding the Son of God. That's right. Taking God in the flesh and raising him up in her bosom and in her home. Isn't that amazing? Taking the God in the flesh and wrapping him in swaddling clothes and laying him in a bed. She knew that was God in the flesh. She sat over there thinking, ladies and gentlemen, about what she had to do and what mission God had put her on and the charge that God laid upon her. And the Bible said that she just pondered these things in her heart. Wouldn't it be good, ladies and gentlemen? What did she ponder in her heart? What did she ponder? It's not real deep. It was the word from the Lord. Them angels came and brought her the word of God, and she sat down there and just began to ponder on the word of God, the things that they was telling her that God told them to tell. She sat there and thought about it. She didn't tell everybody. She didn't run and tell everybody her business. She didn't tell everybody everything that was told to her. But I'll tell you what she did do. She kept that stuff in her heart. You say, what was she doing, preacher? She was keeping her heart with all diligence. She was pondering on the word, thinking about it. The Bible says, let it be your meditation. Man, you lay down at night. Thank God you can lay down at night with a Bible verse in your heart, just meditating on that word as you drift off to sleep. Man, ain't nothing wrong with using that Bible to rock yourself to sleep. Go ahead. Can't sleep? Get up and read your Bible. Man, I'm telling you, it's the best sleeping pill you'll ever take. It'll calm your soul. That's right. It'll ease your mind. And the devil will make sure you don't get another couple verses in and let you go on to sleep. Even if he's bothering you, he'll leave you alone. And the shepherds returned glorified and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Ain't that a blessing? Boy, I tell you, man, that's a blessing. Thank God. Pondering them things in her heart. We'll go back to Proverbs chapter 4. You know what I wish this church would do? I wish you would ponder your life. I wish you'd think, ponder your ways. Just think about where you're at. Think about if you stay on the track that you're on right now. Listen to me. If you stay right where you're at right now, if you stay right on that track, where are you going to be? Where's it going to take you? What kind of life is that going to give you? Are you listening? What kind of life does that trail give you? What kind of results are you going to get out of that road that you travel? It's pretty good. Eh? Just ponder. The Bible said, consider the cost. They get what he said. Consider the cost. Well, I want to do this, preacher. That's fine. I say to you, that's fine. Do that. If that's what you want to do. Preacher, I want to be this. I want to be that. I want to go this way. Hey, man, if that's what you want to do, you have a right as an American to do that. Do that. But I'll tell you what you better do. You better consider the cost. That's right. What is that considering the cost? That's pondering your ways. Better consider the call. You better see what it's going to cost you. Hey, a lot of these women, they want them big careers. They want that extra money. And hey, they chasing it for the dollar. Chasing it for the dollar. And they'll put their kids off to make more money, to have bigger cars and bigger houses and nicer clothes and more things in life. And I understand society set up today, and I'm not justifying nothing, but society set up today that, hey, listen, unless that man's making a bunch of money, you're going to probably have to do without a lot of things in this life if he's going to provide for you. But what I'm trying to say is I know a lot of people that put their job before their family because that's what they want. They wanted to make $1 million. I just got done checking out the life of that Pablo Escobar, Steve. And he controlled 80% of the cocaine traffic in the world. Not in the world, 80% of the, he was making $500 million a day. $500 million a day. Rats were eating more money than in his storage, the rats were eating more money than I will make this year. Probably the next 10 years, the rats were eating it in his storage units. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars just on rubber bands to bandage his money, pack his money up. I think, what, $2,000 a week on rubber bands? Some ridiculous, some unbelievable amount just to pack his money up. Ladies and gentlemen, from what I read, he never one time was able to take a vacation. He was never one time able to walk down the street. He couldn't take his little daughter to the park. He had a daughter and a son. He never could take them to the park in public. He had to sneak around and do everything under the light. I mean, under the canvas of darkness. He had to do every bit of that kind of stuff and not be seen. He'd take that money and help the poor people in his country. And they looked at him like he was Robin Hood. Because he was the rich man given to the poor. And boy, they would protect him and they would hide and they would kill for him. And I mean, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people getting killed. 40,000 people he's killed total. 40,000. He would blow airplanes up in the sky because a presidential candidate was on board that was a conservative that was going to fight his cocaine trade. Right. So because this guy was favored in the country of Colombia, he figured he better kill the guy before he does become president and change some laws. Billions of dollars this man had made. By the time he was in his late 20s, he was a multi-millionaire. You know what his goal was when he was a boy? To be a millionaire. He had a dream when he was a boy because he grew up kind of poor. Daddy was a farmer. Mama was a teacher. Kind of grew up poor, Miss Stephanie. He wanted to be a millionaire and he promised his boys. He made a bet with them. I'll be a millionaire before I'm 30. And he went out there and started robbing graves. He went out there and started robbing tombstones. and selling tombstones, stealing a cross out of this graveyard and taking it to this family and selling it. And he got to peddling tombstones when he was a young man.
And got introduced to drugs and was a runner, just run drugs until he learned that thing and took off with it and became one of the greatest there was, ever will be probably.
Shot that sucker dead on the roof of a house, barefooted, running from the law. They shot him dead. There they had all the pictures blasted about him laying out there, just a fat, nasty slob, barefooted, running from the law. That money wasn't helping him. His accomplishments wasn't helping him. Didn't matter if he was making $500 million a day or an hour. Son, it wasn't helping him one bit laying on that. You say, I'm talking about he had a little wife. He had a daughter and he had a son that none of that stuff he got. He just dissed every bit of that. I'm going to say, you better consider the cost. It's amazing. Oh, he lived, man. Hey, listen, you think, golly, there's nobody ever had what that man's had. I mean, man, the stuff around his, it's amazing what that man had. But it cost him everything. Cost him everything. There's his wife and kids and cost him his family. And I said him because he's a big target, ladies and gentlemen. But there's people all around you that have sacrificed their family to make a dollar. You better consider the call. You can do anything you want to do. But I tell you what I'd do. I'd ponder that stuff. I'd ponder my ways. I'd take time to think about some of that stuff. I'd take time to think about who I was getting in business with. Right. If I was going to get into business, if I was going to merge with somebody, Miss Stephanie, I wouldn't just close my eyes and shake their hand. I would ponder that for a minute. I would check this individual. You know what I mean? People has been shammed out of every dime they've ever saved because they just trusted somebody and did not consider the cost, did not ponder upon their ways. You know what we better do? Kaylee, John, David, anybody else that... Gracie, Stephen, Eric's children back there. You better ponder about your relationships. Is that good? Better consider the cost of your relationships. We ought to consider the cost of our friendships. Who are we becoming friends with? What are we becoming friends with? What are we hooking up with in this world? What are we running around with in this world? Hey! Where's that going to lead us? What's that going to do for you? What's that going to produce in 10 years? Better ponder them things. You better think about it. I'm not shoving nothing down your throat tonight. I'm just telling you, you better think about them things. You better take time to go, where am I at? Where am I going? What am I doing? What's it done for me? What's it going to do for me? Ponder the path of thy feet. Why should you do this? So all your ways can be established. Wouldn't it be nice to have your way? Listen, the word that, better not say that. But wouldn't it be nice to be established or established in this life? Wouldn't it be nice to have your life fixed on Jesus? Wouldn't it be nice to know that you're standing on a solid foundation. That's good establishment. Let's look at that word. Let's look at that word establish. I believe in order to do that, we're probably going to have to look at the word establish. All right, let's go. Goodness gracious, there's a bunch of them. I'm looking them up right now. Trying to figure out what to read. Good. Gracie, you want to watch Paw Patrol? Alright, here's what we'll do. We'll read them. Somebody go to 1 Peter 5:10. Mama, you go to James 5:8. Amber, you go to 1 Thessalonians 2:17.
I think if you go there, that'll be enough.
We're looking at this thing about being established or established. Okay?
5:10,
yes, sir.
But the grace of God, of all grace, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he has suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you.
Pretty good, ain't it? It's pretty good. Who's got the next one?
Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh.
You reckon if you get that old heart fixed, keeping that heart with all diligence, that'd be a good place for the Lord to find you when he comes back? That word established can mean this, church. It can mean to be fixed. Fixed in the sense of those seats are fixed to the floor. Yeah. There've been some pretty big folks come up here and plop down in them too. But they ain't moved yet. They're settled. They're established. They're fixed. They're fastened. And that's what he's trying to say. We're to fasten ourselves unto the Lord. Right? Fasten your heart to him. Fix your heart to him. Who was it said, my heart is fixed? And was that Paul said that or David said that? David said that. Said, my heart is fixed, oh Lord. Yeah, man, that's good. We just read that the other day. All right, who's got the next one?
But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the most abundantly to see your face with great desire.
What'd you just read?
1 Thessalonians.
2 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. 2 Thessalonians 2:17.
Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.
Good. Now go to 3:3.
But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil.
Pretty good, ain't it? That's pretty good. Like, that'd be a good word for y'all to look up and chase that word all established or established all the way through your Bible. It's a good word. And you can pick up some different ideas besides just being fixed, besides just being fastened, you can see some pretty good stuff in there. And, I'll let you figure that out for yourself, but that's good. You say, why should I do that? So that your heart can be fixed on him. That's pretty good, ain't it? You know what he's going to do? The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Is that what it says? Double-minded man. Now, Eric's in the medical field, and I guarantee he could probably explain some of that a whole lot better than me, but that double-minded man is a man that they diagnose today, or woman, a human that they diagnose, and they call it schizophrenia. Yeah. Schizophreniacs. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. A man that's pondering his ways, a man that's keeping his heart with all diligence, a man that's doing what these few little verses right here say, you don't have to worry about that stuff. The Lord will establish you. That's right. Singleness of heart, singleness of mind. You don't have to run around confused. The Bible teaches us that the devil is the author of confusion. These people, man, that don't keep their heart. My goodness gracious, they change every time you see them. They got three different personalities. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. So the Bible says that Lord, if you'll follow my word, I can give you that peace of mind. How about that? A peace of mind. How about that? I can just calm your mind. That's pretty good, ain't it? Take what mind will wear you out sometimes, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord wants to take care of that for us. If you'll just ponder your ways, and he'll establish you. Ways. Ain't that a blessing? You don't have to be double-minded. You don't have to be a, you don't have to be a psycho. You don't have to be a nervous wreck in this old life. I know that your nerves can get bad, but I'm telling you, the Lord will calm you. He'll calm you. So turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's how you ponder the path of your feet. Don't, listen, get on the right path. Get on the right path. And don't stray from it. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Listen, this old world's pulling at us every which way in the world, huh? I mean, man, if it ain't one thing, it's another. The devil's throwing our way. And he's a tugging and he's a pulling, but the Bible says, listen, get on the right path. What is the right path? It's walking in the obedience of this word, man. That's all the right path is. That's the old path. The old path is walking in obedience to the word of God. And there's some things you'll find in that old path. I know that. You'll find repentance and you'll find sound doctrine. You'll find all that. You'll find all that. It's in there. But turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Get out of that junk. Listen, if evil jumps in your path, get out of there. Go around that junk. Keep on with Jesus. And don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Lord have mercy. Every once in a while, there'll be a snare laid in your path. You could be on the right path and the devil will come and lay a snare. Listen, remove your foot from there. Remove your foot from evil. Because that snare is there to take you down. It's there. It's evil. It's wicked. It's there from Satan and it's not there to benefit you. Remove your foot from there. Don't give it space. Don't give it time. Get out of there. Get out of there. I'm saying when he tempts you, when he lays snares and stuff, just resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Pretty good. That's pretty good. I wish you would take time to look up some more of those established or established and just see how good that is, because that's a good word study right there. Good word study. I'm telling you, I took just a couple of times to sit down and go through my Bible and look at that word, and boy, I'm telling you, it was a blessing. It's a real blessing. All right, that's all I wanted to share. I just got a blessing out of that pondering the path of thy feet. Think about what you're doing, where you're going, thinking about that path that you're on. Boy, let me tell you something. There's been a many of people in this life traveled ever. Listen, you're not no pioneer. We ain't cutting no new path. And if it's a new path, it's a path straight out of hell. You can count on, right? You can count on that. And, you're not the first one on that path. There's been a bunch of people before us. That's right. And everything that you can think of, listen to me, everything that you can think of, ponder, think about this stuff. Take time. Do it for yourself. Do it for your future. Man, do it for your life. Just do it for a good cause. Everything that you can think of, Miss Debbie, of doing has already been done. So, well, I want to do this. Somebody's already done it. Somebody's already done it. It ain't going to happen to me. Listen, everybody that's ever done it, it happened to them. It happened. You better think about it. You better think about it. Better think about it. And just follow the path of thy feet. Now, listen, there's so many of you sitting in here. Your feet is on a good path. Sit down and think about that. Think about where you're at with Jesus. Man, take time. Thank God. That'll bless you. If you get to see him where you're at with him, if you're in the right place, if you're where you ought to be, it's a blessing. Look at my man. He's happy about it. Happy about it. Look at me. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I'm going to cut this off.